In previous seasons, I've never really had a playing bench.
Looking at your team from last week, it seems that you do have a playing bench.
Hello and welcome to another episode of FPL by Dummies, the FPL podcast made by dummies for people who aren't so dummy-like. Or if you are listening to us, then to be honest, you probably are one of the dummies. I am your host, Tom, and with my absolute podcasting partner in crime, Cam. How are you, mate?
Yeah, not too bad, buddy. Slowly, as our FPL Twitter is very quick to remind us all, inching our way through the international break. Yeah, it's been a long slog, but we're finally at the beginning of the second week, and it's only a matter of days until our beloved FPL is back.
I know. I think recording this actually makes it a little bit better because I sort of forget about the international break and I just think about FPL a bit more. Also, some sad news. I finally realised why Antigua and Barbuda haven't been playing any games. It's because they got knocked out in the first round of the CONCACAF qualifiers, so they didn't even get to the actual qualifying stage. So that's why they've not played since, June last year. Or something stupid.
Well, I thought you were a diehard, so has it taken you this long to realise?
Because it's the first time I've actually bothered looking, to be honest.
So you're not that diehard, basically.
No, not really. I might buy the shirt then, just to piss you off. But anyway, moving on. This week we have finally got ourselves someone who's not so dummy-like, someone who's actually quite good at the game. Rob, how are you, mate?
Hi, gents. Yeah, good, thanks. How are you both doing?
Yeah, good. Rob is, I'm about to say I've known him for many years. He's actually the only person I know who's actually half decent at FPL. I think I put it on our tweet the other day, but what have you got? I think it's like 3 top 15k finishes, 4 top 40k finishes. I mean, generally a bit of a dickhead.
Keep this coming.
It's really annoying because so Rob was one of the first people I started working with when I first went into my working life, and of course the first person I met was someone who batters me every single year in a mini league, which is pretty depressing. But yeah, how does that make you feel, mate? Make you feel good? Make you feel better?
Yeah, it makes me all the stupid amount of hours that I put in every week deciding transfers makes it all worth it. Tom, just
beating Tom.
Yeah, to be fair, a lot of people said that to me before as well. So you're not the first. You won't be the last, I'm sure. So yeah, Rob's going to join us this week and basically give us some actual real input on FPL and hopefully give you guys a much better understanding of how to play the game. And you don't have to listen to us for an hour,
some
which is quite nice.
Useful pointers and tips is what we are expecting. But, so no pressure, Rob.
Starting off, Rob, Hull fan. How's that?
interesting. No, we've been in a bit of strange form really this year. We had a great season last season, getting promoted back into the Championship after getting relegated the year before that. So it's been a bit of a tough slog this season, as you would expect from a newly promoted side. We're struggling to find our feet in the Championship this year, but potential for new owners, that's the talk at the moment. And new ownership, and hopefully they've got as much money as the new Newcastle owners.
I'm going to say, which Middle Eastern state is going to be taking over?
Not quite. Turkish. Turkish owners. So yeah, he owns a couple of football clubs, I think across Europe, a Dutch side and one other, maybe a Turkish side itself. So yeah, I think it's on the way up because there's a bit of a fractious relationship between the fans and the current ownership. So a lot of parallels between Newcastle. So hopefully it's...
Who is the current owner? Is it? Am I right in thinking that it's a local or is it a foreigner?
A mix of both. From Egyptian origin, Assam Alam, but he's been in the sort of in and around the whole area for the majority of his life. He's a very wealthy individual, but they went to try and rebrand the club years ago now into
Hull Tigers.
Hull Tigers, and obviously got a lot of heat back of it. And ever since then it's been pretty fractious. So yeah.
Well, when was the last time that Hull were in the Premier League? Was it 2016 or was that 2017? Because it was the year we signed Robbo, I think. And Maguire went to Leicester. I think it was 2016-17.
It was that season, yeah. It was the infamous season when we, at the start of the season, where there's that picture which made the rounds on Twitter of about seven or eight players, maybe slightly more, on a pre-season tour, and it was full Hull City squad photo, or that was what it was being joked as, with about eight or nine players there because the squad was so thin on the ground. And we actually beat Leicester City first game of the season, who were just won the champion, the Premier League the year before.
Yeah.
And we beat them 3-1. But obviously it went downhill from there and, yeah, swiftly got relegated with Andy Robertson going off to bigger and better things and Harry Maguire.
Well, what's the kind of prospect of Hull getting back towards the big time? Is it a long way off or... Well, with this injection of cash, it might be a bit sooner, but...
Without the takeover, it was... Yeah, it looked light years away, but hopefully, as you can, with a bit of optimism with the new ownership, things might turn around. But there's been a lot of money taken out of the club in recent years, so it's going to take some serious rebuilding, I think, to get anywhere near the Premier League. It's not, it's certainly not in the short term. Hopefully, they prove me wrong, but I think it'll take a bit of a build up to get there now.
Bit depressing then, by the sounds of it.
As a Brentford fan, Tom, you'll be used to that until recent times.
Exactly. I was about to say, it's been nice seeing all these like big
teams
doing terribly.
Which is why
you're
loving it so much.
Oh, mate, it's beautiful. I mean, it's brilliant. I think
was the biggest pessimist ever, and now he's like, we're in the big time, giving it the big in every week.
I was about to say, I think I was chatting to someone the other day who's Doncaster Rovers fan. And he was reminding me of like Doncaster Rovers scoring like a last minute penalty. We missed a last minute penalty. They went the other end and scored. And I was at the game, and that was the game that didn't get us up to the championship. And I was chatting to him, and I was like, "That's probably one of the worst sporting days of my life." And he's like, "Yeah, but now we're in League Two, and you're in the Prem, so piss off." I was like, "Yeah, fair enough." I was like, "That's fair enough, isn't it?" So, but yeah.
Speaking of worst sporting days, you could be 2-0 up in an FA Cup final after 20 minutes. Somehow managed to throw away and lose 3-2 to Arsenal.
Yeah,
and never forgive Aaron Ramsey actually, for that.
I think actually, that is worse.
And Zanni Cazorla.
Yeah, okay, fine. I'll give you that one. That is probably worse, actually. FPL wise, obviously, we've already said that you're actually pretty good at it. Frustratingly and annoyingly, from my point of view, obviously not from your point of view. I think my question: So I always play playing bench, not playing bench, mixture, bit of both. Varies.
Yeah, in previous seasons, I've never really had a playing bench.
Looking at your team from last week, it seems that you do have a playing bench.
I think this season seems to be the exception, or certainly since our last wild carded, which was 3 or 4 game weeks ago now. There's obviously it feels like a lot less premium options this year. I'm usually big on piling on the premium when depending on what you read, they say, have two and then balance it out elsewhere. If anything, I try and, squeeze in three premiums and have a really strong playing 11 and then, not really care so much about the bench, particularly in previous years. And if you look at my squad at the start, game week one, I mean, I dread to go back and see what my bench was in game week one. But previously I would have definitely advocated staying, not wasting time on points on your bench. But if you're not going to spend it, I mean, this season's proven, I've got one heavy hitter in Mo Salah and then spread the funds elsewhere and it's doing me well so far. And a strong bench is always a nice thing to have. It's paid dividends, not last week, but the week before. I had two non-playing players and Livramento and Armstrong came off on bench for both with returns. So it does pay to have it if you can.
Well, I guess we suggest that, like, obviously you do have Salah and you don't really have any big premiums in your midfield or attack, but defensive wise you have gone pretty heavy on the premium, so you've got four premium defenders out of five. Let's say premium, they're all, what's Diaz at? Is he 6 mil? Yeah, 6.1, Reece James is 5.9. If the international break ever produces a price rise, he'll inevitably be 6 mil. But yeah, all of your defence apart from Livramento are basically 6 million and over. So, and I mean, on the basis of what's happened in the past 2 months, that's probably the way to go, isn't it? Big at the back, because they're either scoring or keeping clean sheets or both.
There's definitely seems to be a phase each season. I can't remember what we always come up with acronyms for it as well. I can't think what it was now last season, but there was a time where, it was big at the back was the flavour of the month, and it feels like that's definitely the case at the moment now. If you look at the forward options, there's hardly any money to be spent there really. I mean, who would you really want out of the likes of Ronaldo? Kane, absolutely not at the moment. Lukaku injured. I mean, you've got money to play with, really. So why not invest it in the defence? And at the moment it's really paying dividends. Reece James has been on unbelievable form in the last 3 weeks. Trent, again, assists, goals, and yeah, you can't look past the two Man City players. Cancelo was ridiculous against Man United recently, and then Diaz, that could be Diaz, that could be Chilwell. Either way, there's the money there and available to play around with it.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at the top scorers goals wise this season, when you first go onto the players, it shows you 14, and of those 14, you've got Salah, Vardy, Mane. I don't think I'd class Aubameyang as a premium because he's dropped down to like just under 10 mil this year, hasn't he? Is he a midfielder or is he a striker this year, Aubameyang?
I think he's come back to being a striker.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he is.
But, well, maybe he's just about a premium. Then Fernandes and Ronaldo. So that's like about 6 players out of the 14, and the rest of them are like 8 mil and under, basically. You've got Antonio up there, Rafinha with 5 goals. Firmino, that's massively skewed by his hat-trick, but, you know, he still scored it nonetheless. Maxwell, Corne, Fornals, Gallagher, Greenwood, Huang are all, in the top 14. So it just, I don't know why, but the big hitters aren't hitting quite so big this year.
No, it's crazy, like, obviously the amount of money. With the amount of money I've got in the bank at the moment, I'm tempted to put in an ISA for next year because it's ridiculous the amount of money that's just sat burning a hole in my pocket at the moment. I feel rich as shit. I feel like I'm going to start walking down the path, just throwing pound coins at people. So.
Well, this is like Rob said, he normally goes big. And about, 4 or 5 game weeks ago, I had Trent, Salah, Ronaldo and Lukaku and was basically just scrimping elsewhere. And I just, realised that wasn't where the value was. So I've kind of distributed my funds elsewhere. I could have been a bit smarter with the times that I did it, but ultimately, I'm a lot happier with my team now, and that's kind of been reflected in my points returns because I've had 3 or 4 green arrows on the bounce, and it's kind of rescued my season because I got up to about 150k after game week 2 or 3, and now then I fell down to just outside the top 1 million, and now we're back up to 360k. So yeah, performance is improving, but still not a patch on Rob really.
Yeah, I know. I mean, where are you at the moment, Rob? Is it 15? Your top 15k at the moment?
Yeah, in and around.
Yeah. Actually, no, you're not. Top 16,464, actually. So not in the top 15k, to answer my question. No, he's just outside of it. So
it is crazy the difference, though, in terms of like a few points can boost you like literally tens of thousands of places. Like,
you say a few points, but Rob is currently like 43 points ahead of me, and he's obviously got the rank improved. I'm sat at 220k, which is I think a decent rank at the moment, and I'm quite very happy with that at the moment.
But Tom, you say that, and literally 3 weeks ago I was 220k, and then Mason Mount got a hat trick.
Yeah, but when you were 220k, I was outside the top 1 mil. So
yeah,
no, I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
It is about catching a bit of luck sometimes. It was exactly the same for me last season. Who expected Aston Villa to beat Liverpool, 7-1, and Jack Grealish to get the haul that he did? And that was the same thing. Then that just propelled me up.
But then I guess for me, I know you're being obviously quite modest, but for me it's like, well, as I said, you know, you've got three top 15K finishes, four top 40K finishes. I mean, there's a point where you go, is it luck or have you just picked much better than everybody else? So, I mean, you put in Jack Grealish, you got obviously a hat trick, and you put in Mason Mount, who got a hat trick. I mean, that's not, at some point you go, is that luck or is that just, I've just picked good players at the good time? And obviously Mount's not played since because of illness, but which turns out to be, what, two wisdom teeth out. If you haven't watched the video of Mason Mount, definitely, definitely go and find it. But yeah, for me, it's like, well, is it actually luck? And I know I'm absolutely, you know, I'm so fully far inside your arsehole at the moment. But yeah, for me, there's a point where I go, is it really luck or actually is Rob just better at the game than me? And John's, well, I usually fall to the latter.
The point that we're trying to make is, remind me, is safety score on live FPL, does that mean your rank doesn't change?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I scored 75 points last week and my safety score was 51. So a really good kind of margin above what I needed to maintain my rank. But I only scored realistically like an extra 24 points and that boosted me 350k. 360k actually, like almost half my rank. And then if you look at how many points it would have taken me to rise another 60,000 places, I only needed to score an extra 6 points, which was Livramento off the bench basically. So that's what I mean in terms of, because we're so early in the season, all it takes is one return or two returns and it can boost you massively.
Yeah, definitely. I think what we're saying basically is if you're miles outside, you know, if you're far away, I think last year I was awful at this point. I want to say it was at least like 2 mil or something stupid like that. And
obviously I ended up this year
not too badly. Sorry? What did you say?
I said you're pretty bad this year as well.
Oh, I'm God, just worse. So yeah, exactly. About to say. So yeah, if you're miles out, it's not a big deal. But there's plenty of ground to be made up, I think. But yeah. It's not too bad a position to be sat currently in the 16,000 mark, is it? So
I guess, I mean, I kind of touched on how I'd performed last week, but how did we get on pre-international break, boys?
Well, one of us will go first. So I guess it'll be me. yeah, pretty good to be fair. Yeah, I mean, I did bench 30 points. So, I mean, it's pretty bad, but to be fair, was I going to play Foster over Sanchez? No. Did I think Sanchez was going to get a red card? No. Did I think he was going to get a clean sheet? Yes. The only one I possibly could have played instead of is maybe Gallagher, but then again, it's who would I play him over? It's like, okay, I could have played him over Mbeumo or Tony, but I'm Brent fan, so that's never going to happen. I could have played him over Rafinha, but then to be fair, that would only mean a 2-point gain because he obviously scored himself. So there wasn't really anyone for me to play him over. And then obviously, Hwani Chan, and again, was I going to bench Vardy over Hwani Chan? No. And well, Anton said, oh, sorry, he got 2 points. So, yeah. Sorry, it was just, who's my other player? Livramento. That's stupid. Absolute legend.
Good point. Tony and Mbeumo won, like, even taking out the fact that you're a Brentford fan, they had Norwich at home.
Exactly. I mean, I don't think anyone was expecting Norwich to win that game, but they did.
So. I mean, it wasn't like the week before where Gallagher was away against City, so you certainly wouldn't expect any returns there. They had Wolves at home, but Wolves have been decent this year. And yeah, just in terms of fixture-wise, Brentford-Norwich is a much nicer fixture than Palace at home against Wolves. And he was really, really fortunate with his goal. Like, you know, he's in the place at the right time, but it was a deflection that ended up sending it in. If there was no deflection, the keeper would have comfortably saved it. So,
yeah, and to be fair, I think it's the classic. Everyone just looks at what points he scored, but there was a Tony assist to Mbeumo goal. It's just Mbeumo was 2 yards offside. So
he didn't score.
No, I know, but I mean, everyone goes, I mean, immediately off, and I put it on Twitter, and obviously I put it as I was a very bitter Brentford fan, but it does piss me off. Everyone goes, oh shit, they're all terrible. It's like, well, the professional footballer is playing in the Premier League, and if he's 2 yards, piss off. I mean, but do you know what I mean? It's like, if that did happen, so for example, if it was an assist to a goal, then the complete dialogue changes about them. Everyone's going, oh, I'm getting them in for Newcastle because they're undroppable at the moment.
It's better than him not, you know, having the offside goal. Like, if neither of them were having that opportunity, then you would definitely be saying, okay, get them out. Ultimately, they didn't return, so it's like, it is a blank. But, yeah. I think as well with your Sanchez, like, you fully expected Brighton to keep a clean sheet and Watford to concede, which they did. But then, obviously, Foster got an unexpected penalty save. So, yeah, I don't think you can gripe too much.
Rob, how was your game week?
Before I do, I love how much sort of personal offence you seem to take by Brentford performing badly. You see, it seems to really, as if you're the poster boy for all things FPL Brentford, and when they don't perform, you feel like you're the one accountable for there.
I just see it on Twitter, and it's like immediately just affects me. Like, I'm just like, oh, it just pisses me off. So yeah, I think I do take it a bit personally. I don't really know why. I mean, like,
very similar to Tom, my game week, 32 points on the bench, which was frustrating. But again, a bit like Tom, I always play the fixtures over form. Ideally both, but yeah, always play the fixture. And in my opinion, again, Ramsdale versus Foster. Yeah, well, Ramsdale got the clean sheet anyway, so I can't complain too much. But yeah, who knew that Foster was gonna save a pen? So you can't account for that. Yeah, I got stung by the deadly duo of Mbeumo and Tony. Which stung me a bit, but yeah, with Livramento and Armstrong on the bench for Southampton, who got a good result against Villa, I thought that the Norwich home fixture for Brentford would have superseded that. But I mean, in the whole, some huge points in defence with Alexander Armstrong, Cancelo, and James all performing, which was strong, and likewise Havertz finally returned, thank the Lord. And Mo Salah keeps chipping away. So the only good and other good bit is I brought Smith Rowe in this week. Thanks, Tom. He performed, got the goal. So it was an easy transfer in the end with Mount being ill. So yeah, slowly moving away from the Chelsea assets.
Yeah, that is 2 weeks in a row actually that I've helped you, which is really pissing me off actually. So basically, all I'm saying is, top 17k. Can't say top 15k. Apologies. And that's all down to me. So you're welcome.
All it does is make even less sense as to why you're performing so badly. If you can,
because I don't listen to my own advice. Because I give you all the good advice, and I don't bother taking any of it for myself. Because why would I do that? So,
because that's how it works. Once you've given out the advice, you can't possibly use it yourself. It's
no, exactly.
Finite resource.
What I'm actually doing is trying to give Rob bad advice. He's taking it. It ends up being good advice, and I end up stinging myself, don't I? So, Cam, your week? Obviously, you already said you'd had a decent one.
Well, yeah, basically, I'm better than Rob at the game because I got 75 points and he only got 74. So, yeah, what can I say? And I bent fewer points. So, yeah, I'm just all around better. I can't complain. It was a very good week. Similar to you boys, that I did bench points, but realistically, I wasn't going to start them over anyone else. Similar situation. I had Ramsdale, so he got a clean sheet and bonus anyway. Livramento, was I going to start him over Duffy with, who did they have at home? Newcastle at home, who aren't renowned for scoring goals? Probably not. Was I going to start him over Chelsea with Burnley at home? Probably not. A pretty kind of even spread of points, which I was a lot happier about because recently my defence has been carrying me. But I similarly brought in Smith Rowe this week. I raid transferred him in after he scored the week before. He did kind of shit ass his way to a goal because they should have given the ball back. But you got to take those breaks when they come your way. So, yeah, all round decent week. Looking forward to, well, I'm not looking forward to this week coming because my team is an absolute shit show. Like last week, I had all the home fixtures. And, you know, that turned good in 75 points this week. It's all the away fixtures and they're all kind of playing each other. And if they're not playing each other, then it's difficult games anyway. So, yes, not looking forward to it. Not really sure what I'm going to do just yet because I've only got the one transfer and I don't really want to be taking a hit. So, but we'll get onto that at the end of the pod, I'm sure.
Yeah, so I think this is the first time we've actually had a start where actually we've all been pretty happy. Oh, no, Brentford lost. No. Okay, fine. We can go back to being
so miserable. We're delighted.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on quickly. And Liverpool lost too, actually. So,
all right, Tom, shut the fuck up.
How did Hull get on?
We won. So it's perfect week for me.
Perfect week. No, well, that's good for something. moving on. As you may be aware, the next segment, Would You Rather? If you haven't listened to us before, no, it's not. It's not Marry Void. I always do that. It's like a constant now, isn't it? I get it slightly wrong.
You just love Would You Rather.
I do love Would You Rather. Starting with the first segment, Snog, Marry, Avoid. If you haven't listened to us before, Snog is a short-term punt. Marry is someone we were all having in for the long term. And Avoid is someone that maybe other people are looking at getting in, or someone that we just basically don't really like the look of. He's looked us up the wrong way, and we've gone, yeah, I'll piss off. So, yeah, we'll start with our Snogs. Rob, as the guest, would you like to go first?
Yeah, so Snog this week that I'm going for is Diogo Jota. Reason being, more than anything else, is just the fact that he's pretty much guaranteed a start, I reckon. So I don't think it's been 100% confirmed yet, but I'm fairly sure Bobby Firmino's out for some time. And I've seen some doubts over Sadio Mane as well in terms of his fitness. So Jota's got to start. And in that Liverpool team, which, yeah, okay, they had a bit of a hiccup against West Ham, although they did score two goals. Jota leading the line is nothing to be... You can't sniff at that opportunity, particularly at that price. So I don't necessarily have any stats to back up his current performance when he's on the pitch, but we all know how good he can be. And he always looks very, very threatening when he does get his chance. Now that he's pretty much nailed on starter, I think, yeah, it's a good opportunity because regardless of fixtures, and I think Liverpool's fixtures are okay in the next few weeks, then it's a perfect recipe, I think, for a bit of Diogo Jota time.
Yeah, they are good fixtures. Obviously, Arsenal up next at home, who have obviously looked better. But then they have Southampton, Everton, Wolves, Villa, Newcastle. I mean, then you could even go into Spurs, Leeds, Leicester, all the way up to 21 when they got Chelsea. So, I mean, and then after Chelsea, again, it's another ridiculous little run of five games. So, fixture-wise is good. And, I mean, 7.5 for the leading striker for Liverpool, who won't be benched because there's no Bobby. I mean, if at the start of the season, you take that. If he knew he could start every game, I think he wouldn't have left anyone's teams. So, love it.
Yeah, kind of frustrating because I got rid of him a few weeks ago. And as you say, our fixtures turn... Bobby's definitely out. Mane, there is a doubt, but I think he might make it back. And even if he doesn't, we know he's definitely shooting then, isn't he? Kind of frustrating. He had quite a few good chances against West Ham that he wasn't able to take. But from a fantasy point of view, that's promising because, as I said about Tony and Mbeumo, like at least he's getting in there and having the chances. The worst thing you can worry about with a striker is that they're not, you know, getting in those positions and having shots at goal. So, definitely for the winter period, I think he's one to get on.
Yeah, absolutely. Cam, who are you snogging this week?
Similarly, I mean, he could well be a Marry, but given the favourable winter fixtures they've got coming up, also let's give a shout to the 10 game weeks in 40 days. So every 4 days, there's going to be a new game week, which is just ridiculous. But I think he is well equipped to deal with that schedule and with a new manager and a formation that I think is going to suit him and hopefully a resurgent Harry Kane. I'm not going to get too excited off his hat trick, but the guy that I am kind of indicating or hinting at is Heung-min Son. I think of the premium midfield assets, he's one of the few that actually appeals other than Salah. He's not really got the stats to back it up this year. As I mentioned, he didn't really feature in the top goal scorers. He has got, let me just check, 4 this season so far. So he's level with Jota and Conor Gallagher, who would have thought. But yeah, I think with the new formation that Conte likes playing with wing-backs, it's going to give Spurs a lot more control and ball possession in games. I know they're counter-attacking teams, but I think him playing up alongside Harry Kane is going to suit them both really well. And as I say, if Kane is on form, then generally speaking, Son will play well as well. And even if that's not the case, he's been one of Spurs' best players this season and what's been quite an uninspiring team. So, yeah, I think the turn of fixtures, what has he got in his next four? I think it was Brentford, Norwich and who else?
Leeds, I think.
Leeds, you know, all very leaky defences. So I think that only really bodes well for him. Yeah, that is right. And beyond that, they've got really nice fixtures as well. So, as I say, I think he could be a marry. Like, you could have him long-term in your team this season, but equally, this Christmas period looks like it's going to be really nice for him.
Yeah. I mean, he's coming in my team this week, so I can't really disagree with you there. My snog this week, I'm going... apparently, the scouts already touted him, which is really annoying me, but I'm going Maxwell Cornet. A bit disappointed they've done it already. He's currently, everyone's talked about Mbeumo playing as an out-of-position striker this year, and Maxwell Cornet's doing exactly the same. He's midfielder, 6 mil. He's currently playing as a striker. Yeah, he scored 4 goals already this season, and, well, he's had 3 in the last 3. 2 against Hampton, 1 against Brentford. His fixture run's not too bad. I mean, Palace at home next, who obviously have been playing really well. Spurs at home, obviously, going to be against Conte and new tactics, but I mean, Spurs haven't looked great. And then Wolves and Newcastle. I mean, he's 1.3% owned, and I mean, he might be worth a punt if you're looking at someone in there. I know, obviously, there's Smith Rowe, but fixture wise, not looking fantastic for them. And obviously, there's Conor Gallagher sort of in the mix as well with similar price range, but. I mean, Cornet looks really good every time he's played so far that I've watched him. I've only obviously watched him for a couple of games, and they happen to be the games where, yeah, he scored both times. But, yeah, an interesting player, playing really well, obviously out of position as a forward. So that's the benefit I'd say you get over sort of the likes of Gallagher and Smith Rowe, that he is playing pretty much as a striker. Obviously, he has been subbed off towards the end of games at the moment, but if he keeps playing the way he's playing, then, I mean, it's pretty undroppable.
Yeah, I think it is an out there pick. It's a differential. It's one of those where I think if you're looking to make moves in your mini league, then he's the sort of guy you get in. Did you mention what Burnley's fixtures are like? I don't remember.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Are they any good?
I mean, he also allows you, if they do score a goal, to make, you know, loads of posts with regards to Canetos and things like that. So, I mean, what's not to like?
Yeah, I don't know. It's definitely an outside shout, but I don't hate it. He is
just don't love it by the sounds of it.
Well, it's just one of those where I think there are better mid-priced options. It depends how template you want to be. If you want to break away from that, then sure, go for him. But there's obviously, you mentioned last week another differential was Trossard.
Who scored?
Jota. Yeah, he did.
Who scored? I'm just saying.
You've got Bowen, you've got Zaha, Foden, Havertz, Rafinha, Bernardo Silva. You know, there's a lot of mid-price midfield options there who will kind of guarantee pedigree. Even, you know, I know he's very baked this at the minute, but Conor Gallagher is returning at a higher rate than he is. And, you know, as a team, Palace are playing better, creating more chances than Burnley, who aren't notorious for scoring goals. So, as I say, yeah, I don't necessarily love it, but at the same time, I don't hate it. It's just, it is an outside shout, and I wouldn't be mad if anyone went for it. But
I mean, I was going to get Son in this week. I'm tempted just to do Cornet, just to bang a hat trick this one. But I mean, I'm not going to, but I would love to be able, I'd love to have the balls just to go, you know what, I'll get Cornet in for Havertz instead of Son.
And then like all the West Ham fans, you can tweet, Cornet's fucking massive.
Yeah. Oh, that sounded a bit bitter, that did.
I loved it. It was hilarious.
Okay. Yeah. Rob, any thoughts on Cornet? or everything's just been said that you agree with?
Pretty much. There's that many midfield options this season. I think Cornet wouldn't be the top of my list. I don't hate it. He has looked good. He's recent form, he's been pretty good. There's short term fixtures there as well. So if we were scratching around, if we were in where we were with forwards, where we can't really put our finger on the ones that we want, and it's an opportunity to take a punt, then I think Maxwell Cornet is the definition of a punt, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely. I think so. What we're saying is, I'm an idiot, and if you had six midfielder choices, you still probably wouldn't pick him. So, okay, fine. That's very short and sweet. We'll move on then. I'll go straight into my marry then, because I'm you know, the ball's rolling
slightly
anyway.
Slightly more
template. I mean, it's super template. I'm just going to reinforce the point. Trent Alexander-Arnold. Everyone's seeing a lot of value in sort of Chilwell, Reece James, Cancelo. I think it's hard to overlook Trent. Obviously scored an absolutely glorious free kick against West Ham. Beautiful Salah assist as well. That was a lovely touch of the ball, if you've not seen that one. I just think he's worth the money that he's there. The amount of output he puts out for you. I mean, if he was a midfielder, you'd probably have him still. So 7.5 mil. Just keep him in your team. I think with the amount of money that everyone's scratching around with at the moment, they've got absolutely loads of it. I mean, he's not really stupidly expensive compared to some of the likes. So, yeah, for me, just have him. I'd prefer to have him and one Man City and one Chelsea player. If you had to pick three, I mean, I'd pick one of each rather than going with, double up on one of them. I'd rather just have him because he will produce. I mean, some of the balls he produced in the Champions League as well against Atletico were absolutely ridiculous. So, yeah, Trent for me.
Yeah, everyone's been tweeting this week, like, who have you had in your team since game week one and who won't be leaving your team until the end of the season? I think Trent is the kind
definition
of
a Mari.
That, yeah.
I mean, getting like a 50-year sort of gold thing at the end of it.
I have no idea what you mean, but okay.
I meant like an anniversary present because it's such a long Mari. Okay. I was running on the pun of our, like, you know, the actual game we play, but...
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah, he's the second top point scoring defender by three to Cancelo. Obviously, he's a lot more expensive, 1.2, and Reece James is only 1 point down the road, and he's 5.9. But I think with Liverpool's fixtures, we've already spoken about them for Jota. I think there's really good clean sheet potential, and yeah, as you mentioned, his set piece and not even set piece, but just general delivery is so good that he's going to definitely assist a few more goals and possibly even score some himself. So, yeah, he's in my team and won't be leaving till the end of the season, and even then, he'll stay in for next season. So,
just the forever pick,
absolutely.
Cool. My boo. Rob, Mary.
Well, I'm going to be the Gareth Southgate about all this and pick Reece James over Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Oh,
so that's my marry. Reece James. I mean, if you look at every game that he's provided an attacking return in every game that he started so far this season, albeit there has been a big chunk of time where he's injured. But yeah, he's provided attacking return. He's provided an attacking return in the last three goals in the last three and an assist, four goals in total. I would tie that in with Chelsea's clean sheet potential, and the fixtures are okay. There's a couple of tough ones in there, but the whole point of Amari, I guess, is the fact that you would keep them through the tougher period of fixtures. And yeah, I think he seems to be, certainly it feels like a lifetime ago, but I think the last game week and the game week before that, he seems like their key point of sort of focal point in attack to provide the creativity on the right hand side. So yeah, I can't see him being dropped, considering how well he's playing. Got to back my man Gareth and agree with him that he's the one for the right hand side.
Yeah, can't disagree. As you say, since he's been fit, he's been a shoe in at right back, and it's fucking irritating. I wish they'd released this interview sooner, but I don't know if either of you saw Chilwell's interview with ITV this week. But he basically lifted the lid on the beginning of the season. So Tom, for anyone who wasn't listening at the time, was basically saying Chilwell is going to come back in and start. Chilwell is going to come back in and start when Alonso was playing. And I was like, no, it's going to be Alonso. Why would he swap? And it was basically what turned out is that Chilwell was kind of supposedly mentally exhausted after the summer. And Tuchel said his head wasn't in the right place, basically. So he just gave him a bit of a break. And it was always in his plans to bring him back in. So yeah, I think him and James are the shoe-in for their wing-back roles. I mean, we spoke last week, didn't we, Tom, that those two are their top scorers this season, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
They spent 97 mil on a striker, and their wing-backs are the ones who are their top scorers.
Was that a bit of praise for me as well, that you were just trying to quickly skim over as well, that, you know,
Well, it was just more saying, just
you said that I said that I was, basically what you're saying is I was right and you were wrong, but you sort of skimmed over that really quickly. So I thought I'd just
not at all.
Jump back to that very quickly.
Yeah, you were totally right. But and what I'm saying is I wish they'd done that interview sooner and we would have been able to, you know, skip over all of that pain and just go straight to the Tom being right bit.
Oh, I mean, I'll take the Tom being right bit. I don't care about the other bit because I didn't have Alonso at any point. So works for me. Yeah. Sorry, you're going back to what you were saying. Sorry to interrupt.
Nah, basically, I agree with Rob.
it takes Tom to be delighted with being 50 points down on refusing to get Alonso in, or whatever the hell it was. But as long as he was right in the long run and getting there,
I mean, what's gonna last longer in my memory? Me doing well at FPL or me being right? 100% me being right.
Well, the only thing is that both of them are so few and far between. What's the differentiating factor that means you remember one over the other?
Oh, yeah, it's fair enough. Maybe me being right is so rare that every time it does happen, I make it. Yeah, I say I've not turned the camera around. I've got a little. I got in my, on my bedroom wall. I've got little like trophies of like it's like a newspaper of the day where I was right, and I just write like Tom was right on this day. So,
you got one.
Go buy the newspaper tomorrow, and yeah, frame it. It will join the only other newspaper that I've got on the wall. So,
well, hopefully, I will join you in being right for once, because my Mary pick is Bernardo Silva, someone else who kind of you might expect to be a bit of a rotation risk, but he's proved to be Pep's man of choice. I always caveat my Man City picks with the fact that you just don't know what Pep's going to do next week. It seems rosy. He started the past 6 games and played 90 minutes in all of them. And he's been scoring and assisting in that time with 2 goals and an assist. City are City. So the FDR doesn't really mean very much for them. But out of their next 7 games, they've got 4 that rank 2. And the ones that are 3 and 4, they could easily score 4 or 5 against. If Bernardo Silva is starting in midfield, they've shared the goals around a lot this season, City. So I think, yeah, with Ferran Torres out injured, that's one less person competing for a starting place. He just seems to be in favour at the minute. So I think I'd go with him. Is he the cheapest asset in City? I think I might be right in saying that. If not, he's one of. I'd say get Bernardo Silva in your team.
Bernardo, Rob?
When Cam first said it, I hated it, but
yeah, me too.
But I've just been looking.
I heard a butt.
I had a quick look and I thought, well, surely there can't be much in it in terms of price with Foden, and obviously he seems a very, very popular pick this season. And Foden is sort of, you know, over a million more. And over that time frame that Cam's just mentioned, where Bernardo's got 3 goals, I think Foden's only scored the same amount in terms of goals, anyway. And I think assists as well. Two assists. Did you say 2 assists, Cam?
In the past 6 games, Bernardo's got 2 goals and an assist.
Okay.
So
ever so slightly more output from Foden than his 3 goals and 2 assists, but for the, you know.
One of them came off his heel and he wasn't looking. So,
yeah, for the amount of money.
No, it's spent, the same. In the past 6 games, they've both got 3 and 2.
Yeah. So, considering I'd be a big advocate for putting Phil Foden in your team and Bernardo was producing the same output, then I retract my hatred of it.
Yes. I'll be buying the newspaper tomorrow.
No, you won't be. Cause, well, I don't know. You don't accept my opinion anyway. So, I don't know if I'm with Rob because I think I prefer Phil Foden as well as my choice. I think Bernardo's got more chance of him being rotated than Foden, personally. Now, obviously, that's from absolutely no knowledge, no inside trading or inside knowledge at all. But I just see Bernardo getting rotated more so than Foden as it comes to the Christmas period.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like they both have the same sort of probability. They both can play in the midfield and they both can play, like when they play on the wings, Foden normally plays on the left and Bernardo on the right. So they both are competing against the likes of...
But then Foden's been playing up top as well.
Yeah.
The false 9.
Yeah, Bernardo has played there before as well, though. But I think they're both competing with the same kind of number of players for their relative starting position. And yeah, I mean, you can't really argue with the amount of starts that Bernardo's had of late. As I said, that can turn on a sixpence and Pep can go right the other way and he doesn't feature for the rest of the season for like literally no reason. But given that we can only go on what we've seen, yeah, I kind of would expect Silva to stay in the team and continue to be productive.
The one thing I would say is that I've always tried to target the talisman of each team, and is Bernardo Silva? No.
I don't think so.
Is Phil Foden? I think so this season.
Almost.
Yeah.
A bit more so.
Obviously, it probably was De Bruyne in the past, but he's obviously nowhere near this season, and I don't think City have that talisman, or Foden's as close to it as you're going to get at the moment. So I do have a bit more sort of certainty about him playing. There is always, I mean, what did you say, Cam, earlier? 10 games in 10 game weeks in 40 days, was it? And
yeah, coming up.
So yeah, I think there's particularly with Man City, there's a few who are going to fall foul of that. So, but yeah, Foden just for me. But yeah, output's looking similar anyway, which I just said.
Don't be nice about it. Just call him a prick and tell him that he's wrong. Right, my favourite part, avoids. It's always more fun, isn't it? Because we just get to talk a lot of hate about players that we actually relatively like. Just feel like it's not one. Who wants to start this week?
This one, I'm not like particularly passionate about, but it's something that I noted this week. And it was mainly flagged by an article by The Scout. And then it's kind of been backed up by the transfers in, which I think is through people reading that article, they've decided to hop on the bandwagon. But my avoid this week is a double, and it could be either or, but it's going to be McCarthy and Guaita. Basically, The Scout produced an article, as they've done for a few different positions, of players, as we've just mentioned. We've got these 40 days with 10 game weeks in it coming up. And so they've kind of touted some players that you might want to have for that period. And two of those in the goalkeeping department have been McCarthy and Guaita. Now, both of them are in the top six scoring keepers in the game. And it's pretty kind of hotly contested up that end. There's only, you know, Guaita's on 43 and McCarthy is second with 47 to Edouard Mendy. But they basically were saying, you know, they've got really good fixtures coming up. And I don't think they do. Norwich up next for Southampton. You know, Norwich obviously have been the league's whipping boys this year. New manager bounce, will that be a thing? I mean, we might come on to talk about that once we've done Stogmarie Void and Would You Rather, the new kind of influx of managers of late. But that's not guaranteed. Then they go away to Liverpool. Then they have Leicester and Brighton, Arsenal and Palace, all teams that score goals this season. So the likelihood of them keeping clean sheets, I think, is quite low. Obviously, in that time, McCarthy can make saves, which will give him points. But I think it would be, you know, not too outrageous for him to only score about 6 points across those few games. There could be a few minuses in there. There could be some zeros and then just ones and twos here and there. So I think, yeah, Southampton have played well this season and are one of the kind of better defences in the league. But their run of fixtures is not at all favourable. And then if we look at Guaita, again, playing for a good team in Palace this year, who are a decent defensively, they coming up over the Christmas period, go away to Burnley, you know, not terrible, but Burnley at home always manage to find a goal here or there from a set piece. Then they go to Villa at home, Leeds away, Man United away, Everton at home, Southampton at home, Watford away. That's a slightly better run of fixtures than Southampton, but I think there's still the potential in there for them to concede goals. So I'm not quite so sold on hopping on those straight away, and particularly to have them, you know, McCarthy's had 110,000 transfers in and Guaita has been slightly fewer at 70,000. But obviously you've got to own some keepers in this period, and with Sanchez getting suspended for a game or two, I can't remember quite how many it is, you've got to find a replacement. But I think those probably wouldn't be the ones that I go for.
I mean, I don't mind the Gaeta goalkeeper transfer in, to be honest. I think Palace have looked really good, actually. I absolutely, as I've already mentioned on several podcasts, I don't get Ramsdale coming in. But so for me, I actually don't mind Gaeta at all. I'm not so sold on McCarthy because I don't think Southampton are as good defensively, but I think Palace have just looked really good. I mean, they kept a clean sheet against Man City and they've just kept a clean sheet in the last game to whoever they bloody played. Can't remember. Wolves, exactly. Who have obviously actually been relatively decent this year. So I don't actually hate that one. I mean, I'm not... Yeah, I mean, for me, if you're on Sanchez at the moment, you're looking to get in and you have a free... I mean, if you've got a free transfer and you're going to make it, but Jones, I'd stay with Sanchez. I mean, that's the pick for me. I mean, I prefer it over Ramsdale and I prefer him over... So, I mean, just either... If you've got Ben Foster, great. If you've got Steele, keep him for the game week, which I assume most players will more than likely have. If you have another 4.0 keeper or you had no other keeper that's playing and you've got the free transfer, I mean, at the end of the day, if you're making a single transfer of Sanchez for 1 week, just take the zero for the week, I'd say, personally. I just wouldn't do a transfer change for a goalkeeper. That's my personal
I mean, I probably wouldn't
preference.
But given that people are making these transfers, mean, I know you say you don't see the Ramsdale one, but and I know you will also say that he's played quite easy opposition and getting the clean sheets that he has, but he missed the first three game weeks of the season and he scored more points than Guaita and he's only one behind McCarthy. And each of those keepers have played every game so far this season.
But, I mean, his fixtures coming up are hard.
His fixtures are coming up are hard, but I think the likelihood of keeping a clean sheet in those games is as likely as it is for either of those two keepers that I've mentioned to avoid, if not better. So I think as well, for me, I've got Foster and I feel like I can dovetail their fixtures so that when one of them has a particularly gross one, I can play the other and you can kind of manage it that way. And then you come out the other side of that and I think Arsenal have some really good fixtures after the next four, which ridiculously is only like the next 2 weeks or something. But yeah, I don't know. It's not the worst shout, but I just don't think people should be getting on them in the droves that they are.
I hate to keep agreeing with Tom, but I like the Guaita.
All right, Rob, you're not coming back. Fuck off.
I like the Guaita pick. I'm not too bothered about McCarthy because of the fixtures. If you are spent the last 2 weeks or 1.5 weeks, 2 weeks leading up to the deadline, deliberating between McCarthy and Guaita, then my advice would be to get a life. And no, but yeah. I mean, I understand that. That was my initial thoughts, but I mean, I love my FPL, but use your transfers elsewhere. If you do have Sanchez, I forgot about his suspension. Hopefully you've got an able replacement in Foster or Steele or another playing keeper. And focus your time and efforts elsewhere because it's not worth it. Unless you've got plenty of money in the bank and then maybe think about upgrading, because I'm not a massive fan of any of the 4.5-ish options this year, including Ramsdale, even though I've got him. If you can push the boat out a bit, then it might be worth it.
Yeah. I think that's enough on keepers, isn't it? So, Rob, who's your avoid?
Just for you, Tom, my avoid Ivan Toney.
Yep, so you can fuck off and you're not invited again.
Successfully pissed you both off now. I think I spoke about Reece James of my Mary. He scored 4 goals this season, missed half the season. Ivan Toney's played, not missed a single minute, scored half the goals, scored 2 goals throughout the whole season. Yes, 2 assists, and one of those goals was a penalty, I think, Tom, correct me if I'm wrong.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, they've looked fantastic, not recently, but at times this season, Brentford have looked fantastic and been great to watch, but something about it. I think in previous seasons, when there's been so many forward options, that I think we would have all been rushing to get him out of our team. I think the reason why we're even still considering him is because there's so few options this season that we're all in love with, from a particularly, as I say, from a forwards perspective. But the stats don't look great at all, and fixtures are okay, to be fair, coming up. Newcastle, depending on the new manager bounce still, but then Everton, Tottenham, Leeds, Watford. It's not terrible. And to be fair, going back to my point as well about talisman, I think Tony is that talisman, isn't he? Not missing a minute all season, but if he's not producing, then yeah, I've got him in my team, unfortunately, at the moment. But if you don't have him, then I wouldn't be rushing to bring him straight back in.
No, obviously I'll go on that one.
Obviously you're wrong.
Yeah, obviously completely incorrect. No, and to be honest, obviously he's not in great form at the moment. I think the only, like you said, I think the only thing that's keeping in people's teams at the moment is there's no real other options. I think for me, I'd probably go Mbeumo's probably, if I could pick between the two, I'd probably go Mbeumo over Tony. He's cheaper. But the problem with the midfield options at the moment is there's so many of them. It's going, well, if I take Mbeumo, then actually that's taking me out of a midfield option. So I think if Brentford start playing how they were playing at the start of the season, then for me, Tony's the better option from a placement point of view. And he will, I think it's one of those where he will score more goals towards the end of the season. They're getting into that groove. I think they've had a few injury issues, which have caused the issues. But yeah, at the moment, he's not in great form, as you said. Obviously, I said earlier in the pod, you know, he could have had an assist on the weekend. But again, the assists aren't really what you want from a striker, because he's not getting the bonus points for getting assists. He's not getting the extra single point, I guess, for a goal. But with the extra goal as a forward, you pretty much are guaranteed some bonus points. So I think you sort of, that's where you see the benefits, really. And he's not getting the goals at the moment. So yeah, I hate it, but I think I agree with you.
I think what to say is, if you're looking to get a mid-price striker in, is probably not to get him in. But if you've got him, which I do, I don't think I'll be rushing to get rid of him just yet. I think I might try and keep him for another week or two, and if he still hasn't returned by that point, I'll get rid. But I hadn't quite realised this, but in the past four games, Brentford, they're on a four losing streak. One more and Frank could be out the door like Dean Smith.
That wouldn't happen.
But you know, that's all it took for Smith to lose his job. You know, in that time, they've only scored three goals out of four games. And in the two before that, they scored five. So there has definitely been a drop off in output from Brentford recently, culminating in giving Norwich their first win of the season. It's a little bit worrying, but I think still going to try and chase the fixtures. They've got some nice ones coming up, at the very least, the next one away against Newcastle. And hopefully they can kind of refined their kind of goal scoring touch, and Tony can be at the centre of that. But yeah, it's not been great for him recently.
I mean, to be fair though, we lost 1-0 to Chelsea, we lost to Leicester, but to be honest, that was down to a Tillemans wonder strike. We got thoroughly battered by Burnley, which I accept, and to be honest, we absolutely destroyed Norwich in the second half, and we probably should have ended up winning that game even though we were 2-0 down. So, I mean, and we also, in that point, lost our keeper, who's been the mainstay for that. Anyway, we're going to get on an absolute tangent. I
didn't realise you got extra points for good performances, Tom.
Oh, God. Yeah, you're definitely not invited back now. Yeah, fair enough. Okay, I'll stop. My avoid, I can carry on ranting about something else. Callum Wilson, what the fuck are you people thinking? I mean, it's not a ridiculous amount of people have got him in, but it's enough to make me a little bit angry. Just don't do it. I mean, yes, fantastic. They have a new manager. It's Eddie Howe. You know, it's not fucking hell. It's like, he's not that good. I mean, actually, pretty shit. The last job he had, he got relegated with Bournemouth, to which he also had, shock and awe, Callum Wilson. He's 7.3 million. So if you're going to get a Newcastle striker in, get St. Max instead. That's what I have to say. Don't get him in. Don't get in Callum Wilson, because I've got to be honest, I'd rather have... There's no strikers that we can pick from, and there's still strikers I'd rather have than Callum Wilson.
I've definitely not been swept up by the hype on Twitter, but I can see why people are looking at getting him in. There is going to be an inevitable manager bounce.
Do you reckon?
As Rob said, he's their talisman. So even if they don't win games, if they're going to score, it's going to be through him. I think, don't get me wrong, I don't think Howe is the right appointment, but he's not as bad as people are making out. Yes, his last job he did get relegated in, but prior to that he'd brought Bournemouth up through the leagues and kept them in the Premier League for a good few seasons.
Also, so he's a shocker of a defensive record, though. And I mean, coming into a team which can't defend, I mean, that's actually looking really good for Newcastle, for people playing Newcastle.
But that doesn't really matter for Wilson if they can't defend. Like, if they can't defend but they can score goals, well then no one, if you're not a Newcastle fan, you don't really care. As long as Wilson's scoring goals, then you would want to have him in your team. I'm not saying that I would. I agree with you. If I was to choose between the two, I'd probably go for St. Max. But I can see why some people might be tempted.
Yeah, I can't. I'd rather have Cole Linton. I'd rather have Cole Linton than Callum Wilson. So
that's just a lie. You know it is.
Oh, he's 1.5 mil cheaper. And didn't he actually? Has he scored yet this season?
Scored like three goals in 50 games or something.
No, he hasn't scored this season. He scored, was it back in last season he was scoring? I feel like there was a point where he
scored two goals at the back end of last season.
He scored two goals in two games. Everyone's going like, here we go. He's finally worth that 10 million more than Newcastle paid for him than over Salah. So. Yeah.
Callum Wilson's started the last four games, so he's definitely due an injury.
Yeah, that's true. It's like a race, isn't it, every year? Who gets injured first, Callum Wilson or Mikel Antonio? So,
Tom, Joe Linton has scored 6 goals in 76 games in the Premier League for Newcastle.
And he got signed in the same year as Mo Salah. Let's just put that in perspective. Mo Salah in that time has scored 100 goals, and he scored 6.
Yeah, so
I love it.
You're lying.
I still rather have Cole Linton. Yeah, no, don't want Callum Wilson anywhere near my team.
You'd
want
to have him for the memes, and that's it.
Yeah, just so when he does score, I can just make some sort of Cole Linton meme. So yes, no Callum Wilson for me. Thank you very much. Yeah, we'll move on swiftly from Callum Wilson to players we actually want to talk about in our next segment, Would You Rather? If you don't get what that is, then to be honest, maybe we aren't the dummies. Yeah, maybe we're not the dummies. Would you rather is very straightforward. I'll give the guys a couple of options and they don't know the options beforehand and they have to tell me who they'd rather have. So we'll start off very hopefully quite simple. Would you rather have Son Heung-min or Harry Kane?
Son for me. Cheaper for a start. I think you've got it's at least two million cheaper, isn't he? I think there's of what form either of them have shown this season. I think Son's been better, other than Kane's hat trick against some Slovenian side, and then Albania just gone. I think he's done next to nothing. So Son is a bit more about him this season. As I say, the cheaper option, more points for goals. Fixtures look very good for both. And I do think there's potential with Conte for points with both, but Son just edges it for me with price and being a midfield option.
Yeah, likewise. I mean, your last point, I would be tempted to go for Kane because there isn't any striking options. But yeah, I agree with everything you said in terms of Son has shown more promise this season. Kane could absolutely go off now. You know, the hat-trick against Albania aside, just Conte coming in could be a turning point for him. Conte has a really good record of improving strikers, even if they're already really good. Tactically, he's just, an awesome coach. So you bring into the equation that Kane, in quite a few seasons, has a catalyst where he suddenly kicks on and starts scoring loads. And that could be now. We don't know for sure. But I think, the safer pick is Son.
Very nice. And the second one, Anton, so I've only got two for this week. Would you rather have João Cancelo or Reece James?
Cancelo, I think.
I think that's a tough one. I think I would agree with Cancelo just purely on fixtures, I think. Man City do have a very, very nice run coming up with some strong fixtures. I think that's the only differentiator for me. Reece James is slightly cheaper, but both got probably similar rotation risk. I think both are fairly nailed, but with 10 game weeks in 40 days, then they're both a bit of opportunity with the strength and depth of both their squads. I think both will probably get rotated at some point, but just purely on fixtures, Cancelo.
Yeah, I mean, Cancelo, I would say, has less of a rotation risk because he can play both right and left back. I mean, James can play right wing back and right centre back, but I think if, you know, Pep wanted to rest Walker, Cancelo can shift over to right back and Zinchenko can come in. If he wanted to rest Cancelo, then, you know, Zinchenko could come straight in for him, and he could well do that against lesser opposition that City are playing at home, for example, where there's slightly less pressure and they can maybe afford to have slightly less quality players on the pitch. But I think James has obviously scored more goals than Cancelo this year, which kind of is a, you know, a bonus that he's got that Cancelo doesn't. But Cancelo, I tweeted earlier in the week that he, you know, he's like, you could mistake him for Tom Brady. Like, he literally dictates their play from left back and he's right footed. He was unbelievable against Man United, as Rob alluded to earlier on. So it's a really tough call. And you could easily go for James because he's 0.6 cheaper. But for me, I'd prefer to have Cancelo if I had the choice.
Just realised I'm a walking contradiction because I've just married Reece James, but then I've
Reece James. No, Thomas, I think the answer is both anyway. So yeah, definitely. I was about to say, I don't think there's that many people choosing between the two, but there might be a few. And that's what you're rather for the week. I only came up with two because, to be honest, a lot of the teams are so template at the moment. There's not really much to choose between. Well,
it gives us an opportunity to, as I say, mention the new managerial hires. I tweeted today that it's kind of funny that Norwich have hired Dean Smith, who got sacked a few days ago over fear of being relegated, and a team who are fearing being relegated have hired a manager who got sacked from a job over fear of being relegated. It's kind of inception. But yeah, what do we think? I know he's a man close to your heart, having managed Brentford in the past, Tom. What is his chances of keeping Norwich up?
I mean, I felt it was a bit harsh him getting sacked in the first place. I think he's done quite a good job at Villa, and I think it's actually Villa's over exacerbated expectations of what they achieved last season that they're expecting to do that again this year. And I think they lost, obviously, Grealish, and then all of us. And I know there's a lot, and I know a lot of Villa fans who have sort of said similar to me of what I'm saying now, that he's actually quite a good manager. And what he got them from mid-table in the Championship to the Premier League. He kept them up on the last day of the season. He then finished 11th with them last season. He's had five bad games and they've decided to sack him. For me, that just is absolutely ludicrous.
Well, I mean, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but they're 5 points off Palace, who are 10th. They finished 11th last year, so it's not like they were in contention for Europe. I mean, at the beginning of the season they were, but they fell away. And people have kind of made that point that that's could have been on the Villa board's mind, is that it's not just how they've performed in this season, it's 2021 as a whole. That they started the back end of 2020 really well last season, and then kind of fell away, as I just mentioned. But, you know, there's totally so much time for them to be able to turn it around. There's 17 games after that loss to Southampton for them to turn it around. I think Smith was absolutely the right guy for the job. And that kind of segues into Gerrard getting the Villa job. I think it's a good opportunity for him. I think it has come slightly too early. I would have preferred for him to stay at the very least until the end of the season at Rangers, and see that one out, and then maybe come and have a pre-season with Villa. I've kind of warmed to the appointment a bit more. I think he needs a bit more experience, and, you know, people mentioned that the Scottish League is easier than the Premier League, which it undoubtedly is. But he did build that Rangers team from pretty much nothing into being unbeaten champions last year. So I think he does have the credentials to turn Villa around. He's clearly a good coach, clearly prudent in the transfer market. But I think it's more for me just the fact that I think Smith could have done that himself if they'd given him the time.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I agree fully. I think, it was a strange sacking, but I like the Gerrard appointment. I'm surprised that Gerrard took it, because he did obviously have such a cushy gig in Scotland with Rangers. But he shows he's hungry and willing, because to move on from a gig like that where he has just won the league and probably odds on, I would imagine, to win it again this season.
In Europe as well.
And yeah, and doing well in Europe, potentially going to qualify out the Europa League groups, aren't they? Which is, yeah, not too often that's happened in recent years, I don't think, for Rangers. So yeah, to go from that to managing Villa, who are in a bit of a, I don't think it will be, but at the moment, technically in a bit of a relegation scrap, then yeah, shows he's hungry to take it on. I did think he was waiting for Jurgen to hang up the whatever managers hang up the clipboard.
Well, he's already hung up the glasses. He's had laser eye surgery, so it wouldn't be those.
Is that right?
But yeah, I don't know. I think he had to do another job before the Liverpool one. I think you can't underestimate the managerial experience you need to take on a club like that. So to just go from Rangers to Liverpool would have been a big ask, even if he had waited another 2 or 3 years for Jurgen to finish the project he's got at the minute. So I think he does need to manage in the Prem or somewhere else of slightly more demanding calibre before going to Liverpool. And you mean, I think, you know, he could even wait another 10 years before he goes to Liverpool. You know, Klopp has gone in at 50-odd or something, having managed Dortmund, competed with Bayern Munich for league titles and got them to Champions League finals. Like, that is managerial pedigree, and that's why Liverpool have done so well. Now, it's not to say that as a young manager you can't come in and learn your trade, but I think it would be a really big ask for him to do that, having not put in the groundwork, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I'm not sold on Gerrard going to Villa. I think he has to, but it's such a hard basis. He's come in and he has to do well. That's the issue. But he's been given a team which Jones isn't performing particularly well at the moment.
Yeah.
And so it's a really tough ask for him, because it could go, it will go one of two ways. It will go incredibly well. He'll make that team tick, or it will go a little bit like Lampard at Chelsea and it'll just all fall to shit. And then he'll basically won't get a job afterwards, which I don't think it will, because I think Gerrard's the character that it won't happen to, but you know, it's happened to Lampard with Chelsea, and he can't even seem to get a job at the moment. And
well, I think it's a bit harsh to say.
But being a mid-table side like Villa, it's like, okay, if he gets sacked from Villa, who does he go to?
Well, this is the thing that I think and Rob said, you know, he's clearly taking a risk going to that job, and he's not shy of doing it. Because, as you say, if it goes well for him, then his stock rises exponentially, and it's a feather in his cap and something on his CV that can get him a possibly bigger job. But then equally, if he gets relegated, well, then that exponentially kind of detracts from what he can do. I think it's harsh to say it would be the same as Lampard. I think it would be worse, because Chelsea weren't really in that bad of a situation when Lampard got sacked. You know, either they had qualified from their Champions League group or they were close to. I think they were still knocking.
No, they did, because they went and won Champions League that year, didn't they?
No, I know, but like, before, like, obviously Tuchel finished the job, but I think they'd already qualified by the time Tuchel came in.
Yeah, they had,
And I think they'd kind of fallen out of the top four places, but, you know, they weren't far off. It wasn't an absolute shit show. So I think, obviously, Villa are already down in the relegation places, so it wouldn't be like, you know, Gerrard comes in their 10th and they get relegated. That would be bad. But I think it could really harm him if he can't turn it round. I hope he does, because, you know, he's my childhood hero. But yeah, it's going to be a tough ask for him.
Mm. Yeah.
And you've already said that you think Howe isn't the man for Newcastle.
No. They need, as stupid as it is, the best thing for them to have done, I think, this year, in my personal opinion, which obviously doesn't mean very much, but like, they should have got someone in like Sam Allardyce or...
No,
I mean,
I was praying you could say Allardyce, and you did.
Yeah, I mean, like, just giving him like an 8-month contract, like, give him to the end of the year, just to basically make them survive, and then get someone in.
Give it Sam to an end of season.
Well, why would you, like, example? So, like, they offered the job to like people like
Pellegrini,
Finesca, the Roma manager, and
Emery,
and all these people rejected him. So basically, what they've done, what Spurs did to Nuno. And obviously that will segue very quickly into that. But I mean, basically Eddie Howe is their, what, fifth choice manager, I think it was. So that feels Eddie Howe with confidence to start with. Yeah. And they've brought in a manager. No one wants to join Newcastle because they're in a relegation battle. So they needed to bring someone in. Like, they needed to do what Chelsea did when they sacked, I can't remember who it was, and brought in Gus Hiddink, like the classic, get him in, he does a job. And then the next season, then they bring in a new manager, he brings all the signings, he builds the team of what he wants. And so they, what they could have done is brought in Sam Allardyce, finished end of the season, survived in the Premier League, maybe, and then gone to Emery, right, it's now your team, you can come in, we'll give you £300 million and you can build with this absolute wonder team. Now, is that interesting for you? Whereas to go, Emery, do you want to come in to take over Newcastle while we're currently 19th in the Premier League and haven't won a game? That's not very interesting for me at the moment. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I don't think they were going to get Emery, but I told you when they first announced the house signing that they've totally settled. And it's a very uninspiring, announcement. I think Allardyce would have been equally uninspiring. You've got to remember, he's already been there. He did rescue them the time that he was there from relegation. But I think they had to go for someone who wasn't quite Emery, Brendan Rodgers, Roberto Martinez sort of level. That's the person that's going to get them up the league and into Europe. But I think they had to go with someone a bit more ambitious who was going to get them out of the shit show that they're in. But it wasn't going to be the person that's going to deliver them European football for straight away. I think it, obviously, this has been proved wrong with Smith being sacked and 2 days later starting a new job. But I think Nuno is that type of manager. You know, he brought Wolves up into the Premier League and stabilised them, got them, you know, he did get them into European football. But someone who can get Newcastle up to mid-table and keep them there, and then someone else can come in and spend the big bucks and get them competing for Europe and league titles in the, you know, next 5 to 10 years. But yeah, Howe is definitely an uninspiring appointment and a massive downgrade from the people that they were looking at to start with.
I think Roy Hodgson's free.
Yeah, he's fully retired now, hasn't he?
He should be. I agree. I think uninspiring, and I think you can never guarantee safety, but I almost feel less certain about Newcastle's future with Howe in charge. I don't think it ticks any box.
I just can't wait to see Mbappe rip it up in the Championship. That'd be mental. If Hull can get a good run in as well. Imagine Mbappe a cold, windy night against Hull. And Haaland and Mbappe up top against Hull.
Yeah, I might renew my season pass if that actually happens.
Well,
right.
Who are we looking to captain next week?
I think it's going to be Salah, but I mean, it's the nice thing about it is, like, I don't like captaincy. So by captaining Salah, it just takes away the unnecessary hatred of captaincy.
Yeah. I mean, depending on if I decide to bring Son in yet, I'm not sure. I might bring a City asset in.
He's coming in for me. But the problem is, it's like he'll already be a massive differential for him coming in anyway. Because, I mean, like, he's not going to be massively owned.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously Salah is in red hot form and he's at home. So, you know, you would expect him to produce some sort of return against Arsenal.
I lied, by the way, sorry. Son 20% owned.
Yeah, I mean, that's already still a decent differential. It's not.
But I mean, yeah.
Most of the game. It's not the 70% of Salah.
That's true.
Yeah, Salah's 99.98% owned in the top 10K.
Ridiculous.
I hate to play the game like this, but yeah, as Tom's rightly said, if you captain Salah, someone like Son will be a differential, even if he does get a haul. If you captain him, then yeah, it's risky, but high risk, high reward. But playing it boring, you stick it on Salah, and the Son points are going to boost your rank anyway. As boring as it sounds. Indeed. Take me back to the McCarthy versus Guaita pick.
Yeah, can you Salah as well? Or?
I think like in all likelihood it probably will be, but and that's mainly because no one else stands out in my team. As I say, I am looking at bringing Son in, but realistically, probably will be Mo.
Yeah, well, that about wraps it up, really, I think.
Well, sadly, it's all we've got time for.
It is. Well, we do have the league. We won't talk about it this week. I think we've rambled on long enough. But if you do want to join the FPL by Dummies League, to which, Rob, I believe you're currently sitting third. Not bad, sir. Not great, but I mean, it's all right. You know, it's not, I mean, you're not winning, so. Yeah, so UEVAGU to join the league. And again, there'll be like a link in the description, all that boring stuff. And yeah, as Cam alluded to already, that is all we've got time for the week. So Rob, thank you very much for joining us. It'd be an absolute pleasure. Be good to talk to someone who's actually half decent at this game.
No, yeah. Thank you, gents. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
And yeah, welcome back anytime, as long as you don't slate Brentford. Or what did he do to offend you?
Well, just generally disagree with me.
Okay, fine. So as long as you come back and are incredibly agreeable, then you're very well welcome back anytime, mate. So yeah, Cam, as normal, horrible speaking to you. So
yep, can't wait to see you next Monday again.
Unfortunately, we're back next week. So yeah, we have another guest on next week. Ray's joining us next week. He's an Arsenal fan, so we can absolutely batter him about being an Arsenal fan. That'd be fun. He's probably already listened to this. If he's listened to this now, I apologise. I mean, please come on next week. Please, mate. So that'd be great. And yeah, as Cam said, that's all we've got time for. And I've done the rambling, so I think we'll call it a day there.
See you later.
Bye.